Generally, Allah made fasting obligatory in order to equalize between the poor and the rich. Surely the rich would not otherwise feel the pain of hunger to be kind to the poor. For the rich will get anything they wish. Thus, the Almighty Allah will to equalize between His servants and to give a taste of the pain of hunger to the rich, so that they become more lenient to the weak people and be more merciful toward the hunger ones. Although fasting has some social benefits, it is not the main purpose of fasting. Thus, fasting is obligatory both on the poor and the rich. The main purpose of fasting is to gain self-restraint, as is stated in the Holy Book of Quran. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may observe self-restraint. Now we talked about some main reasons of why we have to fast, but then what's their words? The answer to this is going to come actually after the break. We're going to figure that out together just after a short time of break. Welcome back. This is For a Better Life, and we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan. We came to the very beautiful part, which is the reward of fasting. Of course, when we are doing something, as in when we pray, when we pay other people some amount of money as sadaqah, or, you know, when we share things with other people, we shouldn't think about their reward. At least that's my personal feeling. When you do it for God, you have to keep it just for God. If that is as a result of your love, it's going to be more valuable. Yet again, we see that God Himself has put a reward for every single thing. So even if we do not go for rewards, He would never forget every single step we take towards Him. The Almighty Allah, with reference to the reward of the patient, states, only those who are patient shall receive their reward in full without reckoning. Now, the most treasured reward of fasting is mentioned to be Allah Himself. It is narrated from the Prophet of Islam. The Almighty Allah says, for every good deed, there are 10 to 700 times rewards. Save fasting, for fasting is for me and I am the reward of it, which is amazing. You know, just think about what we're hearing right now. That is going to be so deep and so filled with love. Surely, what else would a faster wish for after having Allah as his reward? And what would he have if he be deprived of the presence of Allah? It is to this effect that the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet, peace be upon him, reported to have said, only if you know what you may gain in the month of Ramadan, you would have remembered God much thankfully. There's also 7 compulsory rewards of fasting that has been mentioned in our Islamic heritage. It is narrated from the Prophet of Islam, talked about these 7 compulsory rewards. No believer fasts the month of Ramadan for the sake of Allah, but the Almighty Allah will definitely grant him 7 rewards. 1. It will melt the haram from his body. That is all the bad things that have got into our bodies. You know, these haram things, when they get into the heart of a person, then they would turn into blind people. So no matter what they go through, no matter how much sense you shake into their heads, they won't get the meaning of what you say, just because these haram things have blinded their eyes and they can no longer see the truth or hear about it.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
the second reward is that it will bring him close to the mercy of Allah. Third, it will rectify the mistake of his father Adam. Four, Allah will ease for him this stupor of death. Five, he will secure him from the thirst and hunger of the day of judgment. Six, Allah will grant him liberation from hellfire. Seven, Allah will feed him from pure things of paradise. And there's no need to mention about the angels. At this very specific month, angels pray for the fasters. Angels are infallible and their prayers are granted, especially if they are commanded by Allah to pray. It is narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Surely the Almighty Allah has appointed a group of angels for the fasters. They seek Allah's forgiveness for them in every day of Ramadan to the end of it. They cry to the fasters every evening at the time the fasters break their fast. Glad tidings for you, O servants of Allah. Indeed, you hungered for a little while, but you will be satisfied for too long. You are blessed and the blessing is in you. Until when it is the last night of the month of Ramadan, they cry out, glad tidings for you, O servants of Allah. Indeed, the Almighty Allah forgave your previous sins and accepted your repentance. Thus, watch how you will act in your new life. So just as you can see, it is as if a chance of rebirth has given to every single one of us as Muslims. So that's why it is not just a 30 days or nights. You just go through them and that's it. And done, gone, and missed. No, we should have a plan for it. We should think about it too much and ponder about the chances that has been given to us. There are too much of moments in the nights to go for recitation of the Holy Book of Quran, to go for praying, and also to get prepared for the new person that is going to come out of this holy month. Because when I'm entering this month, I'm a person whose heart is filled with too much of burdens, and then when the month is finished, I am supposed to be a different person, a person who has got some new resolutions, a person who has been able to forget about the sins for 30 days. So from now on, God is going to be the one who guarantees my future, who would guarantee me not getting into the trap of sins anymore again, if I do the fasting and all the prayings this month with a sincere, truthful and honest heart. And I guess that is the key point to it all. This was the gist, I suppose. We have to do it sincerely and we have to open our heart, and then God would fill it with his blessing during this holy month of Ramadan. I wish you perfect days and nights during this holy month. Until another time, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every grain of sand in every desert land he knows. Every shade of palm, every closed hand he knows. Every sparkling tear on every eyelash he knows. Every thought I have and every word I share he knows.
French riot police have fired tear gas to disperse the tense crowd of around 2,000 at the demonstration, which comes after clashes between police and water reservoir protesters in nearby Sainte-Soline. The government has deployed over 3,000 police for this demonstration alone. Protesters denounced the heavy presence of police, as well as numerous arrests. The protest near Sainte-Soline is just one out of many protests that have dogged the government of Emmanuel Macron in recent weeks. Since mid-January, the French government has been facing nationwide protests against its plans to raise the pension age by 2 years to 64. Millions of people have been demonstrating and joining strike action since then to show their opposition to Macron's plan. The protests have intensified since the government used special constitutional powers to bypass Parliament on a final vote on the pension bill.
So the French government decided yesterday to trigger what is known as the Article 49.3 of the Constitution, which is a special power the government has to force a vote, to force a reform through Parliament without a vote. That's something that's within its rights. The government can do it if it wants. Other governments in the past have done it before, but it's political dynamite. And of course, for the government, it's embarrassing because it shows that it hasn't got a majority in Parliament to pass its reforms.
The move has brought scenes of chaos reminiscent of unrest by supporters of the Yellow Vest movement during Macron's first term as president. According to the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin, 13,000 police had been deployed, 5,500 of them in Paris alone. The French president was supposed to have been hosting King Charles for a day of pomp and ceremony in late March, but had to cancel the state visit because of the demonstrations. On March 28th, even the Eiffel Tower, the symbol of France, closed its doors to visitors as its staff went on strike. The same day, clashes erupted between police and protesters in the western city of Nantes as public anger over pension reforms evolved into broader anti-Macron sentiment. Macron, who promised to deliver a pension system reform in his presidential campaigns, says the reform is needed to keep the country's finances in balance. Unions and opposition parties, on the other hand, say there are other ways to do that. But the problem with the Macron government is that it does not like negotiation. Meanwhile, as workers continue rolling strikes, heaps of garbage in Paris streets have become the symbol of the protests. The crisis has intensified because of controversy over policing tactics, with lawyers complaining of arbitrary arrests, injuries, and heavy-handedness during crowd control. More than 30 lawyers have recently written an open letter to Le Monde, stating their great concern over what they call arbitrary arrests of hundreds of people, accusing the police of using the judicial systems and arrests as a tactic to put people off protesting. Under the leadership of Emmanuel Macron, participating in protests in France today carries the risk of being seriously injured by rubber bullets and other dangerous weapons used by the police, a flagrant violation of human rights. Since 2018, millions of people have taken to the streets in France to demand social and economic justice. The response of the authorities has been to weaponize the law to crack down on peaceful protesters. President Macron has said he has no choice but to implement the pension reform out of economic considerations, but he has not said why he doesn't allow people to protest peacefully.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad Prophet. Praise be upon. I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, and
I am Vita, again here.
Awesome, Tusim. Today we are going to talk about nightmares.
Yeah, I think a kind of common experience among all the people, except me.
Oh, really? You don't see dreams?
No, I don't think. This is not.
That's so much of a blessing.
I always have.
Let's change our place.
Do you commonly, I don't know, see nightmares?
Commonly, no, but when I see, they are so sad.
So let's go to the point now. What do you see that is so sad?
They're nonsense.
So how do they make you sad?
They're nonsense, but I feel sad. So scared.
I think this is a kind of way to express your sadness.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, dreams are the answers of your soul that comes on the surface, you know, the story of the conscious and the unconscious. All of the things that our conscious soul is refusing to show or is refusing to accept, they would emerge in our subconscious. And then that subconscious would come to show itself as a dream because there's no other way for it to come out.
You mentioned something really important, this subconscious, which really matters here, especially when you affect on that so much. For example, when you go to bed and you're just trying to sleep and you're like overthinking about everything. You're thinking about the problems of the day. You're thinking about the fight you had with your, I don't know, boss at work. You're thinking about, I don't know, you didn't pass one of your exams. And all of these thoughts will put a pressure on you that will, I don't know, reveal itself as nightmare.
You know, they say human psyche is like an iceberg. Just a part of that mountain is outside the water. And then the rest is underneath. And then that underneath is your subconscious that would reveal itself in your dreams. And then if you, perhaps there are some psychiatrists who would just interpret your dreams, of course, according to their limited knowledge, because, you know, in our Islamic heritage, we have some sort of interpretations of dreams.
Exactly.
But it's not the way psychology looks at it.
And, you know, not all of the dreams and nightmares are true.
Exactly.
This is the point.
Yeah. Some of them are just hallucinations of your brain.
Exactly. You know, we have some pure dreams for, I don't know, special and
which
perfect
people. Which are very rare.
Which are very rare in rare people, mm-hmm. in special people. And, for example, we had them in Ayyam and Ahl al-Bayt, I think. But this is not the story. We're talking about ordinary people. People are doing their lives.
Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back with some beautiful stuff.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Youth Station, and we're talking about nightmares.
Nightmares.
Yeah. So, Bita, I was just
talking about superstitions.
Yeah, superstition about nightmares. There are, I don't know if you have heard about them or not, but then I had my grandmother.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace. Well, she used to tell us some stories about nightmares or things like that, and then she interpreted them for us. And then she said, like for example, if you see in your dreams when your teeth is falling down, it's just like the interpretation of that dream is that someone very dear to you is going to die. Yeah, really.
So sad. How do you connect the teeth, I don't know, falling down of the teeth to, I don't know, death of someone?
Logically, at that time, I used to think that, okay, just imagine your teeth would fall down. What would happen to you? Very much logically, it feels so sad.
Yeah.
And then the sadness of that losing your teeth is connected to losing someone very dear to you.
You're talking so logically about a superstition. Thank you.
No, you know, it's just to justify the way you look at it. And, you know, there are different sort of interpretations for dreams that, you
there
know, they have. We have Eastern way of interpretations.
They're so just famous, you know.
That yeah,
I think
so
most
famous.
Of the people use these sort of things. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone steals something from you, it means that you will be rich. Come on.
Or,
yeah, how do you
or for example, if you see snakes
that
in your dreams,
yeah,
that means you either would get affluent or
you
have too much enemies.
That. These are some sort of things that are so famous, I think, in our culture.
And there's another thing about lizards. It's very nice.
Tell me.
I hate lizards, though.
I like them.
If you see lizards in your dream, that means a rebirth. Because lizards are the sign of changing colors.
Oh, it was beautiful because it made sense, you know?
Reading these things are very nice,
yeah, exactly.
You know? They're
I like
sort of
too.
Very, and they remind you of some archaic stories of the past, and then the way you try to justify them, it gets even more beautiful.
Unfortunately, I didn't have any special nightmare that I can tell you, but I think, I don't know, seeing yourself in another world with, I don't know, another story is something beautiful.
Yeah.
But you're telling me I have a blessing, but I think I don't.
No, it's a blessing.
Not because of that.
You know what is very much common? Like, you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And you're so deep in your sleep, and then you feel like you're running, and then you feel like you're falling off a bridge off a cliff, off of whatever. That happens to, and then you suddenly wake up.
It happens to me a lot. I don't see myself running, but I just feel like I'm falling down from something. Feel like, you know, that I don't see anything.
And then that feeling that you have when you wake up.
Yeah.
I'm saved.
Yeah, your heart rate is like a roller coaster at that time. But I think it's something physical and not mental. Thing.
This one,
it
was this special.
Oh, yeah,
it
is about heart, I think. I'm not sure about that, but I read something somewhere.
Well, honestly speaking, it's very interesting for me to interpret dreams. It's always it's very funny for me.
Do you believe in interpretation of dreams?
Sometimes, psychologically speaking, yes, I would say they might have some certain point of truth in
them. You mean we can't rely on that and pretend, I don't know, for example, you can talk about the future according to the dream you had.
It depends on the person who is talking of the dream, you know? Sometimes
I'm talking about ordinary people.
Well, again, it depends because really, really some ordinary people, when they dream, it comes into reality, whether it be
maybe
bad
it's a chance
or good.
You
no,
cannot relate these two things.
Dreams are the premonition of something that would happen to you. Sometimes dreams are giving you some extra information about the future. Maybe they are giving you some hints to be more alert, more cautious, you know?
Yeah.
Because they all have to do things with our soul, and our souls are pretty much free, I suppose. They do not have the limitation of time or space or anything like that. They technically know about the future. That's why, you know, déjà vu, you know about the déjà vu already, right?
I've experienced it
so many times. We all experience it. Like, as in, what's it? Of course, I suppose all of the listeners would know that. But for those who do not know, déjà vu is a situation in which you see something in real world, and then suddenly you feel, oh my God, I have seen this scene before.
Exactly.
This is not my first time seeing this. I have been there.
Yeah.
And I have heard these words.
My mother always told me that, okay, you've been there in the past. I don't know. When you sleep, your soul is kind of apart from your body in a way that you're not dead yet, but it's a way of,
a state between being conscious
and unconscious.
Yeah.
And at that time, when I was a child, she was telling me that. At that time, your soul will go somewhere in the time, you're traveling in the time and also in the places. And you may see some places when you're asleep that you've never seen before, and you will see in the future.
Yeah.
And this feeling of déjà vu comes from that.
So keep it just right there.
And I do agree.
Let's go for a break, and then after that I would say something about déjà vu. We're speaking of déjà vu, and this is
Youth Station.
Yes. Well, I was saying that these situations happen, and I read something interesting about that. They say your soul actually has been through your future.
Yeah,
it knows what would happen to you.
The same thing.
And then for some moments, this is very nice. Imagine for some moments your brain loses the track of reality, of the moment, of right now, and then it would be submerged in the future.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, what we call it, a lapse of moments. You know, it would feel the future in the moment. And then there would be, in those lapses of time, you would feel like you have been in a situation before. And then this is very nice.
This is a beautiful interpretation of this déjà vu that I had the same idea
so
about that somehow.
The same thing would go with the nightmares or dreams,
you know, but
generally speaking.
I think even, I don't know, neurologists and the people who are working on, I don't know, our brain.
Psychology.
Even right now, at this moment that, I don't know, the technology is so developed that we think we're so powerful, actually don't know many things about nightmares.
Exactly.
And this is something that really makes it interesting for me to go and search about that. But unfortunately, there are not many things, you know. And even when there are many things about nightmares and dreams, they are so paradoxical, they're so different and various that you don't know which one is true. But sometimes there are some beautiful stories that you hear, and they're amazing, you know?
Yeah.
About nightmares, about dreams. I don't know. These are beautiful things that we can have them in life, you know. For example, if you see a beautiful dream, just think positively. Use this situation, opportunity that, I don't know where does it come from, but I know that this is beautiful, so use it to make your day beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's also a quote from Carl Jung. You know, he has too much about dream interpretation and so on. And then so much of his quotes about dreams are just interesting to ponder upon. He says that until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. See?
Yeah.
That is so nice. You know, sometimes have got to do too much with your future and also with your right now, with the present moment. And also, they are, I guess, a part of your personality, because your personality is being reflected in your nightmares and dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is
very
nice.
I do agree with that.
Though.
You know, it's like you can find a new dimension of yourself. you know, mm-hmm. Because subconscious is something that you are, this is not available for you.
Yeah.
This is a kind of dark part of you that even you don't know it yourself. I don't know, it comes from the past traumas, difficulties that you've gone through
exactly.
into your lives.
Yeah.
And you are not aware of that. Maybe, for example, one little experience in your childhood, I don't know, you were 2 years old and you saw something which was scary for you.
Something so scary and then it
and
will remain with you.
And this fear will remain within your subconscious and you don't know that, even you're not aware of this
and
point.
It would reflect itself in your
as
dreams.
Nightmares
yeah.
as dreams, and this is beautiful.
And tell you something, many psychologists and many psychiatrists have been into solving too many people's problems by getting to know their dreams, and this also is very interesting.
Yeah.
And it says it all.
I heard
that
it.
Means dreams, no matter how nonsense they are, but still, they
you
would
can
have
think
some,
about that.
Yeah, they would have some point of truth behind them.
It doesn't mean that if you see a dream, it means that your life will be ruined or your day will be so bad that you cannot bear it.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't mean that, but you can think about it. Mm. You can sometimes just be so deep about whatever you see. And maybe sometimes these nightmares are some reminders for you to think about your past.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, not only the future, but the past, which I think is more important in these issues.
Or maybe they're telling you that there is a problem that needs an urgent solution.
Exactly. Nothing is meaningless here.
Exactly, yeah. But so, I, too, would say the same thing.
Yeah.
I usually say that whatever that happens to you has got a reason.
Just, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to go and search for this reason.
Yeah.
Just believe that there is a reason. So, and sometimes you can find
and
a reason.
And study yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a good way to just go through whatever you have done and to work on your personality, on your character, on what is bugging you. On
what is the deeper layer of you?
Yeah.
You
know? And it's very interesting because it will help you reveal your own self in front of your eyes.
And know yourself better.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing yourself is the most practical knowledge
exactly.
of all the knowledges in the world.
Which is very much interesting. You know, that's why we usually ask people about ourselves. We tell them,
exactly.
How do you see us? Because we want to know more about ourselves. But we do not know that our soul is actually revealing itself to us in different formats.
Just we have to be more attentive.
We're just ignorant toward these hints and these ways that our soul shows itself to us.
Yeah.
But this is all the time that we have, and we have to say goodbye to all of you.
Wish you good dreams.
Exactly. I bid you farewell until another session. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Suhail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suhail, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. So, Brother Suhail, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the views and perspective of Islam regarding Jesus Christ. What is the general look of Islam at Prophet Jesus Christ or Hazrat Masih?
The views of Islam regarding Nabi Isa alayhi salam or Jesus is that he is son of Mary, born without a father, with a miracle, and he is the prophet of Allah, he is a messenger of Allah, and he talked during his infancy with the people around him after his birth. He grew and was able to perform miracles like curing different ailments and diseases. At the same time, at the time of crucifixion, Allah called him unto himself, and someone, or as we can say today, a lookalike of Jesus, was then crucified on the crucifixion. And that is the belief of Islam, for he is not the Lord, neither did Jesus claim to be a Lord. He is just a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very divinely guided messenger. Yeah.
Okay. Can you read us some ayahs of the Holy Quran referring to this case? I mean, the case of Nabi Isa in the Holy Quran.
We have some verses regarding Jesus' crucifixion.
Okay.
Okay. We have this surah number 4, verse 157. It says, "And they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, the messenger of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it appeared to them so, like Isa. And most surely those who differ therein are only in doubt about it, not in certainty."
Okay.
"They have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture, and they killed him not for sure."
Mm-hmm.
Then we have another verse, surah number 4, verse number 158, that says, "Nay, Allah took him up to himself, and Allah is mighty and wise." Then we have surah number 3, verse 55, "And when Allah said, O Isa, I am going to terminate the period of your stay and cause you to ascend unto me and purify you of those who disbelieve and make those who follow you above those who disbelieve you to the day of resurrection. Then to me shall be your return, so I will decide between you concerning that in which you differed," between
yes.
Hazrat Isa and the people.
Okay.
The two verses, "Then as to those who disbelieve, I will chastise them with severe punishment in this world, chastisement in this world and hereafter, and they shall have no helpers." Surah number 3, verse 56. "And this is surah number 3, verse 57, as the last part of this crucifixion. "And as to those who believe and do good, he will pay them fully their rewards. And Allah does not love the unjust." So this all are verses related to Jesus' crucifixion. It was his lookalike and not him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay.
Yeah, the second part.
Yes. And the second part, that's right. So about being him alive, the Muslims, according to a text of the Holy Quran, they believe that he is still alive, isn't it?
Yes, according to the verses that we have received, Allah calls Jesus unto himself, and therefore he is still alive and not crucified.
Crucified, that's right. And is it true that he'll be back on earth? I mean, is it true that before the day of judgment, for example, he'll be back on earth again?
Yeah, so regarding his second coming, we have a tradition that is into the verse of the Holy Quran. Shahr bin Hawshab said, Al-Hajjaj said to me, "There is a verse in the book of Allah that has wearied me." I said, "O commander, which verse is it?" He said, "He's saying surah number 4, verse 159. And there is not one of the followers of the book, but most certainly believes in this before his death.
Mm-hmm.
And on the day of resurrection, he, Jesus, shall be a witness against them. By Allah, I command a Jew and a Christian to be beheaded. It seems it is a wartime.
Yeah,
then I look at them with my own eyes, but I do not see them moving their lips to believe in Jesus when they die. I said, may Allah reform the commander. It is not as you have interpreted it, the verse of the Quran.
Okay.
Then he said, Al-Hajjaj, how is it? I said, verily, Jesus will descend to the world before the day of resurrection. Then the people of the Jewish nation or Christian nation will not remain on earth unless they believe in him before their death and will pray behind the Al-Mahdi. Woe unto you. Now this is Al-Hajjaj saying.
Yes.
Woe unto you. Where did you bring it from? He says, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abu Talib narrated it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, by Allah, you brought it from a pure spring. The narration that you have brought it is from a pure spring.
That's right.
Then we have different riwayah and traditions that prove his second coming. Before the day of Qiyamah, he is praying behind Al-Mahdi is also there, where it is also said in the narration that Al-Mahdi would invite Jesus to come and lead the prayer, and he would say that, no, I was just brought up as a vazir back to Allah and not a commander. Al-Mahdi, you are the commander, and so you lead the prayer. If there is time, then we can say more of the traditions, but if it is enough.
No, we have time. If you have any more traditions regarding Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
So we have the second one. The Apostle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good news for you. He repeated it three times. How can the community of which I am the first perish? How can a community perish if I am there?
Mm-hmm.
There are 12 persons after me who are felicitous, and possess understanding, and Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, is at the end of them. But between them, the children of confusion will perish. They are not from me, and I am not from them. The Apostle of Allah said, how can a community perish when I am at the beginning of it? Jesus, the Son of Mary, will be at the end of it, and Al-Mahdi will be in the middle of it.
Yes.
Then we have another tradition. We sat in the shadows of wall in Al-Madinah, and the Apostle of Allah was in a room. Then he appeared over us and said, what are you doing? We said, we are talking. He said, what are you talking about? We said, about the resurrection day, the day of Qiyamah. He said, you will not see the resurrection day until 10 signs of it appear before it, of which out of those 10 signs, one of them is the descension of Jesus, Son of Mary.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Brother Suhail. All in all, do the Christians also believe in Jesus Christ as the Muslims believe? I mean, as this last savior or something like a savior?
So Christians, so because we know that Christians are divided into different sects.
Yes.
One of the sects do believe that Jesus is a prophet of God, and they are still finding the last prophet according to them. Then we have Christians who believe Jesus to be God. Then we have Christians who believe Mary to be God as well.
Mm-hmm.
For the verse that says that those who believe Mary and Jesus to be God, and this is where they come and into denial and say, no, we did not say to them unto this.
That's all right. Okay. We know that at the early Islam, we could say that Ja'far, was sent to Habasha, isn't it?
Yeah.
Abyssinia. And Najashi was the king of the time over there. And he asked Ja'far about the text of the Holy Quran regarding Lady Mary and Prophet Jesus Christ. And then Ja'far started reciting the ayahs of the Holy Quran. So the kuffar and the Quraysh infidels, we can say, could not plot a conspiracy against the Muslims on that time. And that's right. The Najashi, the king of the Abyssinia, give them refuge in that region because of the look and the respect that they had for Prophet Jesus Christ. That's
yes.
All right. Okay. Any other Revaya or Ayah can you give us?
So we have some traditions and verses over here as well that we can see that Abu Ja'far alayhi salam about the verse, O you who believe, Surah number 61, verse number 14, Be helpers of Allah as Jesus, the Son of Mary, said to his disciples, Who will be my helpers in the cause of Allah?
Yes.
The disciples said, We are the helpers of Allah. So a party of the children of Israel believed and another party disbelieved. Then we aided those who believed against the enemy and they became uppermost. Said the group that became disbelievers was the group that killed and crucified one who was similar to Jesus. The group that became believers was a group one of whose members accepted the one who was like Jesus so that he would not be killed. Then the group that killed and crucified him was killed. The group that crucified the like of Jesus was then killed. And this is the explanation of this saying. Then he said that, Then we aided those who believed against the enemy and they became uppermost. Then it is also reported that Jesus will say to Al-Mahdi, I was raised as a minister,
yes.
Not as a commander. And therefore, the prayer would be led by Al-Mahdi. And a lot of traditions have similar narrations to what I've portrayed in front of you.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Brother Suhail, for a nice elaboration regarding the view of Islam regarding Prophet Jesus Christ or Nabi Isa alayhi salam. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page, to another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of the Sheikh. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
Yeah.
In the name of God, the all-compassionate, the all-merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 16th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, from Ratan Kumar Paul from India, and Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. So, Mizanur Rahman, Rob, and Ratan, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. And you know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So, all of you who have sent in reception report will be receiving electronic QSL card from us. Thank you for your support and commitment, dear listeners. And we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program I will read your emails. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Bhathon Rudra. Hector Friahofre from Chile, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany has sent us a message. And the last but not the least is an email from India, from Mukesh Kumar. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. So let's see what Bhathon Rudra from Bangladesh says. Hi, my radio friends. How are you? I love and will love radio because it is my friend and it is the best media all over the world. And I appreciate all the efforts of radio workers and radio listeners. God bless you all. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from IRIB English Radio. Bhathon Rudra from Bangladesh, many thanks for your support and commitment and, of course, your encouraging words. We also appreciate you for your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL, our eQSL, as confirmation. And one of our old and regular listeners from Chile, Hector Friahofre, has sent us an email. Hector says, hello, I hope that the IRIB transmissions reach all parts of the world. Also, I hope my QSL and the requested information will soon reach my hands. I believe that Iran will successfully overcome the restrictions and sanctions caused by the U.S. and you have the support of many people like me from other countries. Best regards. Salam, Hector, and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Appreciations to you for this email, Hector. We are proud that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received everywhere in the world, including in Chile. Also, many thanks for your comments about the success of Iran in overcoming the U.S. unilateral sanctions, as well as your support for an independent country like Iran. Hector Ferrejofra from Chile, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation. After a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special, and our Indian listener, Mukesh Kumar, has sent us a message. Mukesh says, "Dear sir or madam, greetings. Me and my club members are English radio enthusiasts. On the behalf of all the club members, I would like to send our love to you via this email. God bless you. Salam and greetings to you and your club members, and thank you very much for this email. Please accept our EQSL as verification. God bless you too. Mukesh Kumar from India, thank you again. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from Netherlands, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Rob Den Boer. Rob says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's radio, I'm glad to confirm your broadcast today at 6040 kilohertz here in the Netherlands. I heard at 1945 UTC, a female telling a historical Islamic story in English language, which I found it quite interesting. Please verify my report by your EQSL. Thank you so much. Salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands. Many thanks for this email and thank you very much for letting us know what you think about our broadcast. I wish you could tell us the name of the program you had. Anyway, we will confirm your report by an EQSL, Rob. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Okay, after a short break, I will be back with you. Okay, let's see what Kurt Ettlinger from Germany says. Kurt says, "Dear staff at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, as a DX Sync fan, I found your programs very interesting and full of information. I hope I would be able to find more frequencies of your station. So I would be very grateful to you if you can send me QSL card for my reception report." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. It's an honor to have you with us as a listener, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. So please refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en. That is parstoday.ir/en to find the frequency schedule as well as the archives of our programs. Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, thank you very much for this email. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We had a good time together, but we have to say goodbye. But before that, I send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us